Thank you very much. Today I will talk about the development of a new European alcohol action plan to reduce the harmful use of alcohol. This picture was made for a regional committee meeting in September, and some member states came to me, "Oh, everybody will do that. Who will serve red wine in a champagne glass?" So that was not a full purpose for that. I'm not in this close. At the first ministerial conference on healthy lifestyles and non-communicable disease control, organized in April 2011 and hosted by the Russian Federation, the Global Status Report on Non-Communicable Diseases was launched, and the Global Status Report identified intervention as best bias, action that should be undertaken immediately in the field of non-communicable diseases because they are very cost-effective with low implementation cost, and they are very high feasible to implement. And these are smoke-free environments, warnings about the danger of tobacco use, bans on tobacco advertising, raising taxes on tobacco, raising taxes on alcohol, restricting access to retail alcohol, bans on alcohol advertising, reduce salt intake and salt content of food, replacing trans fat in food with polyunsaturated fat, and promoting public awareness about diet and physical activity. So those ten, three is on alcohol alone. The European region, together with the Americas, have an unfortunately high incidence of non-communicable diseases. We have, in the European, we are of the six WSO regions, we have the highest number of non-communicable diseases and injuries. We have the highest overall smoking rate, the highest consumption of alcohol, the highest fat in diet, the highest raised cholesterol, and we are the second highest in the overweight and obesity. Here, America is number one. Alcohol is related to a lot of diseases. Just a few of these here. It affects the central nervous system, behavior, injuries is a main factor, violence, suicide, homicide, drink driving fatalities, criminal behavior. We showed yesterday some figures that about 40% of violent criminals act due to violence are under influence of alcohol. 20% of all other criminal acts are under influence of alcohol. It's terror to gain, it's a dependent-producing drug, it's immunosuppressing, it gives rise to cancer, and the list is growing on cancers, and it has this bipolar relationship to cardiovascular diseases. In the global health risk, it's very clear, especially for young people, that alcohol is the main risk factors for dying between 15 and 29 years. And in Europe, it's estimated 120,000 young people die every year due to alcohol-related causes, mainly injuries. In the same report, alcohol is the second most important risk factor for the disease burden, almost at the same level as tobacco use. And we expect that about 17 million years are lost a year in Europe alone due to alcohol. Globally, alcohol is the third most important risk factor. But here the first one is undernutrition, and the second one is unsafe sex. And that's even that only half of the global population is drinking alcohol. In Europe, these are shown, the red curve here is the old EU member states. We have 27 European Union member states at the moment. The old 15 before 2004, they have seen a decrease in consumption. But in the new 12, mainly Central European countries, we have an increase in consumption. But there's a huge difference between countries. It's just a few examples here. The wine-producing countries have a huge decrease in consumption over time. France, Greece, Italy, Spain. And it's just shown the same with the standardized death rate of chronic liver diseases. It follows the same pattern, not unexpectedly, I guess. And some countries it's the opposite. we have an increase in consumption. I also put United Kingdom on in here because here are so many from United Kingdom in the chair. And there's an increase in consumption. That we could have put added Ireland and many other countries where we have seen an increase. And I will show some examples that it's very related to the policies in a country and the change in policies. And the same with chronic liver diseases, following the same countries, increase. If you increase consumption, you increase liver diseases. Alcohol is closely related to liver diseases, but also to some other diseases, but at a much lower level, and that is, for instance, heart attack and breast cancer. Some indicators show very positive results worldwide, but also here in Europe. The green one is the 53 WHO member states in Europe, and the red curve here is only the European Union. No, the opposite, sorry. The red is the WHO and the green is the European Union. A huge decrease, but most countries have put much stricter enforcement on drink driving and changed the laws. So that is, everybody agrees on that. That should be, something should be done, and that's very good positive results on that. Cancers is going up. It's not alcohol-related cancers, but cancers, the incidence of cancers is going up. And there's more and more evidence that that there are causal links between alcohol consumption and cancers. The Pareto principle also occurs for alcohol. 20% of the population drink 80% of the alcohol. Factors which alter, we could say, consumption, almost everything, but here it's alcohol consumption. Place of sale, price, product, promotion, the 4 P's. These are UK examples. Availability, licensed premises, much more places to buy your alcohol. The green curve showing the price relative to income of alcohol is going down. It's getting cheaper to buy alcohol, much cheaper. And this dotted line here is just to show the consumption in UK. It's going up. Is it causal? We have a lot of evidence that for similar population studies that price and consumption are closely related. Promotion. We had the Alcopops starting in early 90s, the promotion. There was so much more promotion on alcohol products in this period. And we also in UK saw the drinks, young children drinking went up immediately. Closely related. Is it causal? Yeah, probably. Because we have been, WHO European region has been the region where we have been drinking most alcohol. It's probably also why we were the first WHO region to adopt an alcohol policy, and that was back in 1992. It was followed by a ministerial conference in 1995, a second European alcohol action plan in 2000, and a ministerial conference in 2001, and again in 2005. We have a framework for alcohol policy. And we have very good evidence for making these policies. In 2009, we published 2 books. One is the evidence between effective alcohol policies. We have 350 references in that publication. We know what is working. We also know what is not working. And we also produced a handbook for policymakers. So just to see what is working, we know that we can see from this evidence alcohol taxes, government monopolies, restriction on outlet density, restrictions on days and hours of sale, minimum purchase age, lower legal alcohol concentration for driving, random breath testing, brief advice programs in general practice, and treatment for alcohol use disorders, very effective. And also, probably what is maybe be adopted in the Scottish Parliament soon, a minimum price for alcohol. Is shown to be effective for Australians especially. But also on the other side, unfortunately it seems that awareness campaigns, training, school education programs have very limited effect. And campaigns funded by the alcohol industry seems not to work. We have improved our monitoring system a lot during the last couple of years. We are part also of a global exercise. And in January 2011, we published the European Status Report on Alcohol and Health, a 300 pages document, showing also at country level for around 200 indicators the development in alcohol policies and also in harm and consumption. All these data, they are available at both a European website, but also for all countries in the world at the WSO website in Geneva. You can find data from your own country. The main breakthrough of alcohol policy was the adoption of a global alcohol strategy that was adopted in May 2010. That's the first time you have a global strategy adopted. And we followed that this year by adoption in September of a European Alcohol Action Plan. It follows the global strategy bit, but has the European touch. And there are 10 action areas. And for each of these action areas, there are a number of options for actions. So member states can take these options and use them. But it's not a treaty. It's not mandatory to do this. So these are options. And these are on leadership, health service response, community action, drink driving, availability of alcohol, marketing, pricing, reducing negative consequences of intoxication, and the negative impact of informally produced alcohol, and then a monitor and surveillance. And it was a huge consultation process with countries, and between us I can say that the first draft was actually better than what came out in the end, but you have to, of course, take into account what member states would like us to put forward, especially the chapter on marketing was very difficult to agree on. So in the end, we had to copy the global strategy because that has been on that section, because that has been adopted by all member states. So last slide. We will now produce this, make this action plan into a publication, and the member states ask us that we should produce also an annex on checklist for policy response and a list of indicators for each of the policy options. And right now we are working on a new publication for European Union member states, and we will have a new global data collection in 2012, and we'll have a new status report in 2013. And right now we are working with member states to implement the action plan. Quite a high number of Eastern European member states have asked for technical support to implement this plan. So we have some work to do during the next couple of years. Thank you very much.